This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. Crude oil, gold, even grains opened higher in response to the military action in the Middle East over the weekend. According to Ag Bull Trading President Tommy Grisafi, traders had some time to absorb the news and markets calmed down. Energy is the big consideration.
All eyes on the Strait of Hormuz, where we just watched those ships go through that little tiny passage, and I believe there's just an incredible amount of oil that goes through there daily. So will that oil pass? Over 20% of the world's oil has to pass through there.
These are international waters, and ships can move through the region, but the insurance costs are astronomical. How should farmers respond to these black swan events?
That's a great question. These are selling opportunities. This conflict, war, whatever you want to call it, it's not going to go on forever. Even President came out and said he thought it would be over in a few weeks. These are selling opportunities because we're not running out of oil. We're not running out of grains. We've had a wonderful pop in wheat. I actually have clients who have spring wheat who they're 25, 50 cents away from targets here in spring wheat.
Grain and oilseed markets reacting sharply last night after crude oil surged nearly 12% on the escalating conflict between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. In the ag market, soybean oil and hard red winter wheat led higher, while corn and soybean slipped back into negative territory as the energy gains trimmed a bit. Analysts note that oil rallies often support soybean oil and wheat, but extreme spikes can also pressure broader markets and consumer confidence. The fertilizer sector is also on alert. As much as 25 to 35% of globally traded ammonia and urea moves through the Strait of Hormuz. Any prolonged disruption could tighten supplies and lift prices, especially as the spring application season ramps up.
North Dakota's congressional delegation is voicing support for President Donald Trump's latest action against Iran, calling it a necessary response to years of escalating tensions and nuclear concerns. Representative Julie Fedorchak says the president acted after repeated efforts to bring Iran to the negotiating table.
Decisive actions in response to Iran's decades of relentless terrorist activity, its continued pursuit of nuclear weapons, and the grave threat it poses to the U.S. and our allies who seek freedom and peace. We must stand firm against those who threaten our security and the safety of our allies. Under this oppressive regime, neither the Iranian people nor the broader world can fully enjoy peace, stability, or prosperity.
Senator Kevin Cramer echoed that message, saying the moment required decisive leadership and strength.
President Trump didn't just sit on the sidelines like so many presidents before him. He confronted this terrorist regime head on. And when America has the strength, the capability, and the responsibility, as well as the political will to act, we rise at the right moment. And that's what's happening right now. That's what President Trump ordered today. And the world is watching, our allies as well as our adversaries. They're seeing what we do in these moments. And today it has seen how America leads. We lead with clarity, with confidence, with conviction, and with tremendous capability in the most mighty and sophisticated military in the history of the world.
Senator John Hoeven, a member of the Senate Defense Appropriations Committee, also released a statement calling Iran the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism and saying the regime has been relentless in pursuing nuclear capabilities. Hoeven said despite diplomatic efforts, Iran refused to negotiate in good faith.
A southerly breeze keeps us milder to start the week with teens this morning, then a big warm-up. By this afternoon, sunshine and lighter winds will push highs into the upper 30s in the southern Red River Valley and upper 20s and low 30s northern areas. Tuesday, turning slightly cooler with highs mainly in the mid-30s, but then by Wednesday, even warmer air surges in, sending temps into the 40s. A few spots could touch 50 degrees. That's well above normal for early March, but changes coming late in the week. A potential Colorado low bringing wintry precipitation and strong winds from Thursday night into Friday night.
World Weather Incorporated says weekend rainfall in South America was limited, with drying across much of southern Brazil. Rain favored northern areas, helping crops there, while drier weather boosted soybean maturity, harvest progress, and the safrinha corn planting. Dry conditions continue this week across central and southern Brazil into Uruguay, aiding field work but trimming topsoil moisture. Rain returns late weekend into early next week to support crops before another drying trend develops. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. 2025 was a volatile and transformative year for trade. 2026 looks as though it could follow suit. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council Director of Trade Policy Andrew Brandt says last year was a year unlike any he'd ever seen in U.S. trade.
I don't want to understate this, but you know, last year was the most transformational year in trade policy and certainly the history of the United States, maybe I dare say the history of the world. So, you know, President Trump basically on going back to Liberation Day, April 2nd, when he used IEEPA tariffs to essentially say, I'm going to use the threat of tariffs to negotiate with every country in the world. No one had ever endeavored to try and negotiate with every country in the world all at once, essentially. So I'm not trying to downplay this, but it was a very big deal.
Brandt says while President Trump's approach to negotiating at the international level is unorthodox, it is getting some results.
And throughout the year, we saw him land a number of these deals frameworks. They are a little different than a traditional free trade agreement. They are more of an executive order type implementation apparatus, which is different than when Congress passes it. But you know, pros and cons to each version. He has done more on, you know, kind of rattling the cages and shaking things loose to hopefully open up market access than really anyone.
Brandt only expects minor updates to the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement.
On the grain side, you could have some small tweaks here on kind of standardizing and further synchronizing biotech traits and approvals of, acceptance of crop protection chemicals. But those are pretty minor issues. And we already had the biotech case with Mexico that we won via the USMCA dispute settlement process. So there's a couple other U.S. commodities that might have bigger issues. Dairy always comes up with Canada. But for grain farmers, I think overwhelmingly they'd be completely happy with just a straight extension of USMCA. Don't touch it too much at all, and they would be happy.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The price discovery period for crop insurance has ended. The base average price for corn, $4.62 per bushel, down from $4.70 last year. Soybeans are at $11.09 per bushel, up from $10.54 per bushel in 2025. Spring wheat, $6.19 per bushel, down from $6.55 per bushel a year ago. The base price is lower than last year for barley, durum, and oats, slightly higher for canola and sunflowers. March 15th is the crop insurance deadline.
Farm incomes declining across the Federal Reserve's 9th District in the fourth quarter, according to the latest Ag Credit Survey from the Minneapolis Fed. Lenders reporting lower capital purchases and reduced equipment and building investments, with 56% seeing decreased spending compared to just 11% reporting increases. Loan demand rose as repayment rates slipped and renewals climbed. Interest rates on ag loans moved lower, but land values showed little change. Cash rents were mixed. Looking ahead to the first quarter of 2026, lenders remaining pessimistic and expecting farm incomes to fall further.
Nearly 83% of potato growers surveyed expect inflation to disrupt their 2026 business strategy, and 65% cite input costs as their biggest concern. In a survey conducted by the National Potato Council and Spudman magazine, more than 42% reported a pessimistic outlook for their own farms. 66% of the respondents voiced pessimism about the entire U.S. ag sector. Input costs, labor, and trade policies were the biggest policy concerns for the potato farmers surveyed.
Pressure continues to build on Capitol Hill to finalize a new farm bill as farm groups warn producers need long-term certainty heading into another growing season. American Farm Bureau Managing Director of Government Affairs Ryan Yates says farmers and ranchers have waited long enough for updated policy.
American farmers and ranchers deserve better, and they deserve long-term certainty. As I've said before, trying to manage American farm policy based on the status quo of 2018 is just unconscionable.
Yates says leadership on the House and Senate Agriculture Committees is working hard to move legislation forward, but slim margins in Congress are creating challenges.
I think those committees are working and doing everything they can. They want to get a farm bill done, but the margins in Congress are challenging. And so I think what we're trying to do is to continue to build the grassroots support, give them the support that they need and the cover they need to really ensure that they can find a path forward to get this thing done this year.
While several ag provisions included in last year's legislative package, Yates notes significant work remains in key areas, including conservation, credit, and rural development programs. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. Gowan USA sponsoring the Red River Farm Network coverage from Commodity Classic. Farm broadcaster Don Wick catching up with Gowan Northern Plains sales representative Marcia Van Leer at the Commodity Classic trade show.
Marcia, we're here at the Gowan booth at Commodity Classic. A lot of questions, obviously, as growers get queued up for 2026. Let's talk about fungicides. What do we have to offer from Gowan?
So Gowan has a pretty good range of fungicides. Big ones for our market is Domark and Affiant. Nice thing about Domark and Affiant, we're looking at a V5 to V8 application on corn, so it's going out with that herbicide pass. R1, R3 on soybeans. Both are also labeled on sugar beets, edible beans, canola. So, I mean, it's a broad spectrum fungicide. The really nice thing about both products actually is they're very plant mobile. So we're getting some season lawn protection with using those products.
Particularly having the broad range of crops that you can go on, it seems like it makes a lot of sense for these groups.
It does. I mean, you know, markets are tight this year. You're putting out a product that you're able to have a timing application, which is really nice, so you have some flexibility there. It's a premium product, but not at a premium price, which is really nice for these growers this year.
Are there other things these growers can do? Because they're watching every expense this year just because of the way the market...
They are. I mean, you know, really watch some of the other additives that people are really pushing out there. The one thing that we don't want to cut back on, we don't want to cut back on fertility this year. You cut back on fertility, you cut back on yield. Don't necessarily cut back on your seed choices either. I mean, you need the genetics for those yields, and let's do what we can to protect the yields that we're going to have.
What kind of questions are you getting from people here at Class?
I've gotten a broad range of questions. There's been a lot of talk on, you know, weed herbicide. Weed resistance has been a big issue. So we've had a lot of conversations on some different herbicides that Gowan has. Sonalan, Ebtam, Yukon. A lot of disease pressure, especially for some of these guys down south. So we've been talking the fungicides. So the only thing that I haven't really talked about right now is insects.
It seems like attitude's good at Classic.
You know, attitude has been really good talking with these growers. And it's a tough market, and these guys know it. But for the most part, the attitude's been very good.
That's Marcia Van Leer with Gowan USA as we recap our coverage from Commodity Classic. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has finalized the removal of the northern and southern distinct population segments of the lesser prairie chicken from the Endangered Species Act list. National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council had challenged the 2022 listing in court, arguing the protections were legally and scientifically flawed. NCBA President Gene Copenhaver says the listing and critical habitat designation creating an unnecessary burden for ranchers, adding that established science shows healthy rangelands maintained by cattle grazing are where the lesser prairie chicken thrives. Looking at the markets right now, overnight trade, we're seeing Minneapolis wheat May. We are up 1¾ cents right now at 6.14½. May Chicago is down a penny right now at 5.90½. Kansas City, March up 4¼ at 5.77¼. We have July corn right now up 1¾ cents at 4.57¾. In the May soybeans, we are down 6¼ now at 11.64½. And looking at the farm calendar of events coming up here, Peterson Farm Seeds doing their 2026 Cup of Agronomy series across the region. They will be in Enderlin tomorrow at KNS Seeds at 10 a.m. and then the following day in Minto, North Dakota at the Community Center at 10 a.m. You can find out more by going to cupofagronomy.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.